the highest teaching. O monks, as long as my vision of true knowledge was not fully clear in these three aspects, in these 12 ways regarding the Four Noble Truths, I did not claim to have realized the perfect enlightenment that is supreme in the world, inclusive of gods, Maras and Brahmas, and among the host of ascetics and priests, gods and men. But O monks, when my vision of true knowledge was fully clear in these three aspects, in these 12 ways regarding the Four Noble Truths, then I claim to have realized the perfect enlightenment that is supreme in the world, inclusive of gods, Maras and Brahmas, and amongst the host of ascetics and priests, gods and men. And there arose in me the knowledge and insight. Unshakable is the deliverance of my mind. This is my last birth, and now there is no more re-becoming rebirth.
Good evening, Dhamma friends. Last week, we talked about three aspects and 12 modes of the Four Noble Truths. As the Buddha said in this sutta, as long as he did not realize the Four Noble Truths in three aspects and 12 modes, he did not claim to be fully enlightened. As we have learned the life of the Buddha, we understand that Bodhisattva, before his supreme enlightenment, he managed to achieve 8 stages of highly developed sublime status of the mind, Atta Samapatti, 8 types of concentrations. He also developed higher spiritual powers and knowledge. The Buddha is endowed with such higher knowledge and powers known as Abhinnya. Nevertheless, he did not claim to be fully enlightened until he fully realized the Four Noble Truths. So it means none of all the other aspects, in fact, can define as enlightenment here. However, as the Buddha mentioned in the sutta, from the moment he realized the Four Noble Truths in its three aspects and 12 modes, he claimed to be fully enlightened, supremely enlightened, Samma Sambuddha. In this world, with its devas, maras, brahmas, samanas, brahmanas, and sadeva manusa, these terms are important for us in this present talk. So when he claimed to be fully enlightened, he claimed that among all these beings that we mentioned here, he achieved the supreme enlightenment through realizing the Four Noble Truths. So the first term is Deva. The term Deva means divine beings, celestial beings. The word Mara represent also divine beings, but evil type of divine beings. Those divine beings who are evil-minded. The term Brahma is used to mean super divine beings. And these beings, they enjoy long life and sublime bliss and happiness that they developed through meditative acumens. Then we also come across the term Samana, means ascetics. Generally speaking, the ascetics, they believe that human beings have got the ability and capacity to develop their mind and achieve highest spiritual perfections without any help from external beings like divine beings. So Samanas, generally speaking, ascetics, they encourage development of virtue, concentration, wisdom, and such aspects. So Buddha, in fact, if you were to categorically speak, can be included in this category, Samana. So sometimes Buddha was known as the Samana, the great Samana, the great ascetic. So this, in fact, generally speaking, it can include all the religions which are homocentric. The term Brahmana here means the priests. Typically, these are the religions which are theocentric, and the basic tenets or beliefs is that the salvation, liberation, or spiritual perfection is to be achieved through the guidance of the gods or through the help of the divine beings. Then towards the end of it, we use the two terms again, gods and men. Here these two terms together express entire sentient existence, the beings who are capable of realizing the Four Noble Truths. So here, of course, the lower realms are not included in this category. So when the Buddha said that he attained supreme enlightenment through realizing the Four Noble Truths, among these gods, Maras and Brahmas, ascetics and priests, as well as gods and humans. So he claimed the most supreme position, Samma Sambuddha, supremely enlightened one, that defined by realizing the Four Noble Truths, among many other great qualities of the Buddha. So this is the most important aspect. So when we read this passage, it's very clear that this is the Buddha's own testimony to say that the Four Noble Truths, they are the highest teachings, the supreme teaching. There's nothing higher than the Four Noble Truths in the teachings of the Buddha. So that's very, very clear. Nevertheless, there is also tendency to belittle the Four Noble Truths and downplay it. Most probably because of lack of understanding. Some people think Four Noble Truths, They are like ABC. They are the basic. Sometimes we come across Dhamma classes, especially under the labels such as Dhamma for beginners, basic Buddhism courses, or fundamental Buddhism. Under these labels, Four Noble Truths are taught. Now, someone who doesn't have true understanding of the Dhamma will jump to the conclusion and say, if Four Noble Truths are the basic teachings, there must be intermediate and higher teachings of Dhamma. If Four Noble Truths are for the beginners, then there should be Dhamma for those who are developed. So this is a misconception, misunderstanding. This kind of misunderstanding can be strengthened when it comes to the terms like Abhidhamma. The term Abhidhamma is translated as higher Dhamma or deep Dhamma. So naturally, anyone will think it means Four Noble Truths are basic, Abhidhamma is the higher teachings, that is the deeper teaching. However, this is not so. This is serious misunderstanding. Abhidhamma does not teach anything higher than the Four Noble Truths. Abhidhamma falls within the framework of the Four Noble Truths. The subject matters that Abhidhamma teach: Chitta, Chaitasika, Rupa, Nibbana, the consciousness, mental factors, the matter, and Nibbana, all these falls within the Four Noble Truths. In fact, Abhidhamma present the teachings of the Buddha in a very systematic way. But there is scholastic proliferation. In other terms, Abhidhamma present scholastic way of the Buddha's doctrine. In the suttas, we come across when the Buddha came across a listener, depending on his understanding and intellectual capacity and ability, Buddha would use certain similes. He would use the language appropriate for the person. If he were to come across a farmer, he probably will use the terms that farmer will understand. He might use the terms related to farming to communicate the Dhamma. So we have come across such suttas where the Buddha, in fact, adopt the language and the knowledge of the listener so that he can communicate the Dhamma. However, the Dhamma which has been preserved in the suttas, also the same Dhamma which represent in Abhidhamma, used in different terms. So we can safely say that Abhidhamma use abstract and systematic terms or technical terms to express the doctrine of the Buddha. Other than that, to say that Abhidhamma is the deep doctrine and higher teachings, higher than the Four Noble Truths, is totally not true. And that is serious misunderstanding. So the problem is not with the Abhidhamma teachings. The problem is how we understand the Buddha's teaching and how we misinterpret it, that is something to do with ourselves. So Abhidhamma presents the teachings in a very scholastic way, but still that is not beyond Four Noble Truths. Belittling the Four Noble Truths and downplaying its importance is also found in Mahayana Buddhist school. In Mahayana Buddhist school, there are suttas which are directly linked with the Four Noble Truths. These are the earliest discourses. Like in Theravada Buddhist tradition, in Pali Canon, we have the collection of the suttas in Pali language. In Mahayana Buddhist school also have got the same suttas, more or less in different, a slight different version, but nevertheless deal with the Four Noble Truths and the most important teachings of the Buddha. These suttas are labeled under Agama. So they have Dirga Agama, Majjhima Agama, Ekottara Agama, so on and so forth. There are these collections. However, it seems that not many will expound these suttas. These suttas are hidden. No one will talk about them. If someone were to talk about them, it's very rarely. So the Mahayana Buddhist school, they emphasize, elaborate, and expound the later developed suttas and doctrines. So in this way, it seems like the Four Noble Truths are hidden, or they are not given due place, or they are downplayed. In the history of Buddhism, in evolution of Buddhist religion, in last 2,500 years, many Buddhist schools came into existence. Some of them died off along the way. Some survived. However, these schools, they tried to be more popular and prominent. In this competition, within the sectarian Buddhism, there also is a tendency to downplay the Four Noble Truths. Now, if you were to understand the Dhamma, and as we understand it is, someone can attain enlightenment by becoming an Arahant, or by becoming a silent Buddha, or by becoming a supremely enlightened Buddha. However, all these three individuals attain enlightenment by realizing the Four Noble Truths in its three aspects and 12 modes. So all these three enlightened beings, they are fully enlightened, completely free from all the defilements, completely free from repeated birth and death cycle. So they are enlightened beings. Definitely there are differences when it comes to their great knowledge, wisdom, virtue, psychic powers, and the other aspects. Nevertheless, they all are enlightened beings. They have fully realized the Four Noble Truths. Now, the Buddha teaches the Four Noble Truths for the individuals to follow and realize it. So, if any human being were to follow the Noble Eightfold Path and were to attain enlightenment by realizing these Four Noble Truths, he will be known as an Arahant. Now, in Mahayana Buddhist tradition, there is a tendency to belittle it, saying that Arahants are selfish, or they are following small vehicle, Hinayana. When they say it, on the other hand, what it means is those people who are cultivating the Four Noble Truths now, or those people who are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path and attain enlightenment by realizing the Four Noble Truths now, they are inferior. They follow the smaller vehicle. In fact, Mahayana Buddhist school itself has deviated from the Noble Eightfold Path. Instead of Noble Eightfold Path, they have adopted the Bodhisattva Path. Thereby, they have postponed their enlightenment to future. So they postpone realizing the Four Noble Truths here and now. There's nothing wrong. It's up to the individuals whether to realize the Four Noble Truths in this life or next life or in many lives to come. That's individual freedom. But what we must not do is to belittle those who are practicing now. If it is the case, there's no point arising of a Buddha in the world. However, even though there is these tendencies to downplay the importance of the Four Noble Truths, knowingly or unknowingly, directly or indirectly, intentionally or otherwise, without intention, if you were to look at the suttas which are preserved in the Pali Canon, in fact, the realizing the Four Noble Truths should be the ultimate goal of all the Buddhists. Four Noble Truths are the highest teachings. Not only that, Four Noble Truths are the unique discovery of the Buddha. That must be emphasized. There's no any single religion on this earth or in the heavens that teach Four Noble Truths. If there's any religion that teaches the Four Noble Truths, that is the Buddha's doctrine. It is the unique function of a supremely enlightened Buddha to discover the lost path to enlightenment and realize the Four Noble Truths. After realizing the Four Noble Truths, or after discovering the Four Noble Truth, it is also the unique function of a fully enlightened Buddha to proclaim these four truths to the world and set up a system that the other human beings too can follow the path and realize the same truth. So these two unique functions, discovering the Four Noble Truths and proclaiming them to the world, are the functions of a fully enlightened one. So in this case, Four Noble Truths are unique to Buddhas. No one else will teach this. Only the Buddhas will teach this. Do you think that it is only in Buddhist teachings that we encourage charity, practicing dana, helping needy and poor? It is not so. There are many religions who encourage charity, philanthropic work, good work for the well-being and happiness of the others. Do you think it is only in Buddhist teachings that we talk about compassion, goodwill, friendship, generosity, loving kindness, and developing these wonderful virtuous qualities as human beings? Not true. There are many other religions also teach the similar qualities and encourage their followers to cultivate these wonderful qualities as human beings. Do you think it is only in Buddhism we talk about the heavens and the heavenly bliss and happiness, how to be born in the heavens by doing wholesome actions? Not so. There are many religions also teach the pathway to be born in the heaven. Do you think cultivating the mind through meditation is unique to Buddhists? Not so. Even though not many religions encourage this, there are some religions who adopt meditations. They encourage meditations, especially the religions like Hinduism. They encourage developing samatha and attain highly developed concentrations. So there are religions encourage developing the mind through meditation. So these are not unique to Buddhists. We share all these qualities with many religions. Definitely there are differences. Nevertheless, we share these core values. But then what is the uniqueness of the Buddha's teaching? Is the Four Noble Truths. There's no any religions who teach Four Noble Truths. So this is the unique aspect of the Buddha's teaching. So if we were to downplay this, if you were to belittle it, if you were to hide it under the carpet, and then we are in fact taking out the most important teachings of the Buddha. Without Four Noble Truths, there cannot be Buddhism. Strictly speaking, to the point of Dhamma, and there's no Buddhism if you were to take out the Four Noble Truths. In many suttas, we come across the concept of gradual discourses or gradual instructions. Anupubbikata, the gradual talks. So here, when the Buddha come across someone who doesn't know the Dhamma, the Buddha will gradually teach the Dhamma. So there are six topics. Dana kata, sila kata, sagga kata, kammanang adinavang, nekkamma anisansa, and chattu ariya satcha. Now, when the Buddha, suppose he were to come across a person who doesn't know anything about the Dhamma, he will start talking about dana kata. He will talk about benefits of sharing and caring, practicing charity, liberality, giving for the needy and poor, and by practicing such actions, one can achieve merits and one can reduce attachment and defilements in the mind. One can be happy here and now. So this is called dana kata. When he further develops, he started to teach sila kata, the importance and benefits of observing righteous principles, the benefits of cultivating loving kindness, compassion, goodwill, friendship, the benefits of observing five precepts, so on and so forth. So when his mind is further developed, and then he will talk sagga kata. By practicing charity and observing righteous principles, leading a life as a decent human being after the death, how one can be born in the heaven. So here he will talk about how divine beings enjoy their bliss and happiness, sensual pleasure as a result of these merits. It is said the divine beings, they too enjoy five sensual pleasures, but they enjoy more refined types of five sensual pleasures. They live long life, beauty and the glory are much more superior than human beings. So he will explain Saggakatha, talk about divine planes of existence, heavens. Then when the listener is developed and understood and his mind is ready, then he will teach the next step. He will teach Kammanang Adinavang. Danger, degradation and defilements of sensual pleasure. Yes, sensual pleasure brings happiness. It brings some joy. Nevertheless, that is not perfect. It has some danger. It has some defects. There is much more sublime types of bliss and happiness, which is more superior than the sensual pleasure. So when the listener understands to that level, then he will talk about Nekkamma Anisansa, the bliss and happiness of renunciation. How one can detach and develop dispassion, and then how we can reduce suffering, stress, tension, at the same time enjoy bliss and happiness of peace. When his mind is ready, when Buddha knows clearly that listener's mind is now well developed, well cultivated, free from the defilements, very pure now, his concentration is in a suitable conditions, or he has the necessary degree of concentration, mindfulness. So when the Buddha directly understands the listener's mind, then he gives the most special teachings unique to the Buddhas. This teaching is known as Samukkansana Dhammadesana, unique, peculiar teachings to the enlightened one. This is the Four Noble Truths. So in the suttas, we come across these gradual teachings, the gradual instructions. The highest pinnacle is the Four Noble Truths. That is not fundamental, that is not basic. That is not basic Dhamma or the Dhamma for the beginners. I mean, we can use these terms, but we still must explain it. Otherwise, that is how misunderstanding can arise. In Mahaparinibbana Sutta, the Buddha says, the monks, it is through not realizing and not penetrating the Four Noble Truths, we have undergone the birth and death cycle such a long time. I, as well as you, we have gone through this repeated existence without realizing the Four Noble Truths. So what it means? The realizing the Four Noble Truths is the ultimate goal. That is the enlightenment. Mahahatti Padopama Sutta, we come across Venerable Sariputta says to the monks, friends, like all the footprints of other animals can be included in the footprint of the elephant, because the elephant's footprint is big. Similarly, all the Dhamma skillful qualities can be included in the Four Noble Truths. So whatever the teachings that the Buddha gave throughout 45 years, whatever the teachings that we have recorded and preserved thousands of years, those teachings directly and indirectly, one way or another way, they all are linked with the Four Noble Truths. So if we were to preserve the Dhamma We need to understand this. If we hide the Four Noble Truths, if we downplay it, if we belittle it, then we are killing the true Dhamma, and then the counterfeit Dhamma will appear. And that is the end of the dispensation. The Buddha says, Tathagatappa vedito dhamma vinayo vivatto virochati no patichanno. The doctrine and discipline proclaimed by the enlightened one, Tathagata, will shine forth bright and brilliant as long as it is revealed to the world, as long as it expounded, not when it is kept covered. Okay, this is enough as a talk, so we can continue next week.